Our scripture this morning will be out of the book of Romans, and we'll be reading Romans chapter 11, and that's page 1683 in your companion Bible. Romans chapter 11. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. What he not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, Let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fail or fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump also is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, The branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they are broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, There shall come out of Sion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen.
Well, fasten your seat belts. We got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. But we're going to see, I hope, things that most don't see in the Scripture today. At the request of Keisha, we are now going back to look at the subject of resurrection. And there is a lot of confusion regarding resurrection and judgment and the state of those during this time. The question remains, are all resurrected, judged, and in what state are they, alive or dead? Last week we saw that there are two parts to resurrection, and we were forced to conclude by the scriptures that we read, there is a resurrection to newness of life, a state in which death can never again enter. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, basically, is that resurrection. Then in Acts, the 24th chapter, verse 15, a resurrection to judgment of the unjust. And this is what throws a lot of folks, but yet we saw last week that there's many verses that show both the just and the unjust shall be resurrected, but where the sting of death will not have been removed. It says there shall be a resurrection of dead, both of the just and the unjust. And we read those scriptures last week. The question remains, are they alive and conscious? Or forever dead? The question also arose, are there two classes of believers, the just and the unjust? And we concluded that that's impossible by the scriptures that we read. And actually, when we came down to the end, it was not clear, and it did not say one way or the other than the fact that all are resurrected. There is, however, considerable information on the subject that we didn't look at last week. Today I'd like to dig a little deeper. And the first thing I want to say is just remember that these things must be tested against Scripture. Do not accept my words as being infallible with regard to this. I search the Scriptures daily to see if these things be true. You must lay these things aside of Scripture. And we did that last week, and I think we made a nice step forward in our understanding. What we look at today is put together as a guide to you, to your own study of the subject of resurrection and judgment. Now, I have a handout today, and I was telling Jan before, I hate handouts. And the reason I hate handouts is because when you hand it out, your students tend to get ahead of you, and then they don't hear what you have to say with regard to it. And I've got to say that this handout is, I think it's pretty complete, but I think maybe I could have done a little bit better in laying it out, making a little bit more sense of it. It makes sense. But my word of caution is don't get ahead of me with this handout. Well, I can't do that. I have done that before, but I can't do that in this case, you know. And, if you don't understand it, don't be hesitant to come up afterwards and ask a question about it. I've been in situations where I wanted to remain silent and be thought a fool rather than to speak up and remove all doubt. So here you'll see the subject matter at the top of the page is resurrection and judgment. And all of the verses that are listed at the bottom are plugged into one of the boxes up above. So the first thing that we want to look at on the chart is the two scriptures at the top in yellow. If you'll look at John chapter 5, verse 22, the first thing we want to conclude is that there are more than one judgment. John chapter 5, verse 22. And in that 22nd verse, it reads, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him." First thing I want to point out with regard to that is Allah doesn't work. You ask a Muslim, who is God, you know, what is his name? And it's the same. God is Allah and his name is Allah. Doesn't make sense. Here, you can't substitute in there. God, you know, Christ is going, the Son is going to be the judge. And for the Father judgeth no man. That would be Allah as far as Islam is concerned. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, which is Christ Jesus, he that honoreth not the Son hath not life. So here is one judgment. It is referred to in the Greek as the bemis seat. Bemis being reward. The other judgment is referred to in Acts chapter 17. And it's referred to other places as well. But we'll look at Acts chapter 17, verse 31. "Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And this is the great white throne judgment that we will read about a little later there in the book of Revelation." Now, in Scripture, there are three basic resurrections that are referred to. Yes, others have been resurrected. The resurrection of Christ, the maid, Lazarus. Christ, of course, was raised to newness of life, but the others just died again. The maid died again, Lazarus died again, all the women whose husbands were resurrected, all those who came out of the grave when Christ, that wasn't to newness of life. They were just brought forward out of life. God put them back together again, and they died. So there's only three basic resurrections to newness of life. And you see them there in the first column on the chart, different resurrections. And we're going to follow each one of them across the chart from left to right. The first is referred to as the out resurrection, the better resurrection, the resurrection that Paul attained to that he had not already attained to. And the second, and the next one on the page there, is considered to be the first resurrection. And by the way, there's some confusion here with regard to this. The out is actually before the first. It's a matter of titles. But we're going to be looking at the out from among the dead. That's why I put out down there. Then the first resurrection is referred to in Revelation. And then the second resurrection also, just briefly. The first is before the 1,000 years. The second is after the 1,000 years. And that's pretty clear. We'll see that in the scriptures that we read. So we're ready here to look now. If you'll notice, all of these scriptures down below have been plugged into a box. So the out, the first scripture we want to look at is number one in the box. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. Everybody on the same page? Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. Paul speaking, he says, I'll start with verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were made perfect. So here he's referring to something he already knew, that he had his salvation and that he was to be resurrected. But here he's trying to attain to something else. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, he was apprehended as a prisoner of Christ for the gospel's sake, as an apostle to the Gentiles. So here he's hinting that there's something different that he is trying to do. And it has more to do with grace. It has not as much to do with grace, it has to do with reward. So who is included in this group? Look at the second box there that I've referred to as the church of the one body. And I've listed there, number 2, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall also ye appear with him in glory. This is that group that Paul's speaking about. This is the church of the one body in Christ. It says when he appears, we will appear with him. This has nothing to do with the first and the second. This is the out from among the dead. Next box over. What about the salvation of this group? Well, look at the numbers in the box there. There's number 3. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You've heard them all. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Simple. The next one there is number 13 on the list below, John 3:16. You don't even need to go there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Another verse is number 15 there, which is Romans 5:8. You may want to turn to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. And it reads, but God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a simple gospel. And I might jump ahead now. If you follow me, you notice that in all of those resurrections followed down vertical in the chart, they're all the same scriptures. Salvation's a free gift to those that believe. So I've used the same verses in that column for all of the resurrections. Let's look at the judgment criteria then. In the next box over of the out-resurrection crowd. 2 Timothy 2:15. What does that say? Judgment criteria. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth to not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy 2:15. Verse number 5 in that works column there is Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, Paul speaking, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying there's a prize and there's a reward, and it's not based on the salvation, but it's based on works. Salvation is a free gift of God to those that believe. But Paul is attaining to something else here, a prize, a reward, something over and above. A resurrection that's different than the first and the second. And it's based on work. What is the reward? Well, look at number 6 there, which is Romans 14:10. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that is, in the Greek, it's the bemis seat. The judgment seat is the bemis, and it is unlike the great white throne. It is a judgment of reward. Look at number 7 there, which is 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's bemis in Greek. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Bad being having done nothing. It's like in the Olympics. The losers don't get the reward. They don't stand on the place where the winner stands and receive a reward. But here, everyone is judged according to their works. Not for salvation, but for some gift or prize that Paul talks about. Another verse there, verse number 8, which is 2 Timothy 4:8. Look at 2 Timothy 4:8. 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto them also that love his appearing. So don't forget, this group that is going to appear with him is the church of the one body in Christ. Those that are involved in the first resurrection, we'll see, have some other place. It's paradise. There's a difference between the heaven and the paradise. One is in heaven, one's on earth. The new heaven and the new earth. So here Paul is referring to what he has talked about before, that which he attained, that where he wanted to appear with Christ in glory, the church of the one body in Christ. Now, you move over to the next box there where it's the white throne judgment. It's not applicable. That's later in history. So these folks here in the church of the one body, they're gone. They've resurrected. They're not there for the great white throne judgment. Their eternal position, where are they? Look at Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. This is where they are, Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody's not going to heaven. God has a twofold purpose to his plan. New heaven, new earth. There are those who are resurrected to paradise, which is earth, the new earth. So here, this group that appears with him in the heavenlies, the church of the one body in Christ, their eternal position is there. It's not better. It's just different. God has twofold part to his plan. Reconciliation of heaven, a repatriation of heaven, a redoing of earth as well. The question then arises about the book of life. Are they in the book of life? Well, yes. Let's look at Psalms chapter 69. Psalm 69. Are you paying attention, Keisha? For those of you who may be listening to this on the internet, that's my daughter. Psalms chapter 69, verse 28. Let them be blotted out of the book of life. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. What? God can block someone out of the book of life? Look at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32, beginning with verse 32. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. What's the deal here? Well, we're talking about reward. We're not talking about blocking out salvation. This book of life apparently has something to do with more than what we think about. The next column over is worship of the beast. No, won't be worshiping the beast. Why? Because this resurrection takes part prior to that. This is when Christ appears in glory with his church. Then the last column, are they susceptible to the second death? And of course, none. That is a resurrection that most don't see as apart from all the rest of them. And I've tried to give you some scriptures and idea of what Paul's talking about when he says, I attain to that not to which I had already been made perfect. I press for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. What is that? It's to be a part of this heavenly calling. That's what he's talking about. Now let's go on to the next one, the first. And you see there I have scripture number 12, so that's Revelation 20. Go to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 4 and 6. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Who are those? Well, they're overcomers. They live during that period of time on earth that is actually horrendous. It's called the tribulation. They love their life not unto death. They won't worship the beast. They won't take the mark. And they're resurrected for what? They're resurrected for reward, actually. What is that? Well, to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So you see that in the second block there, which is the same verses that we're reading. What is their salvation based on? Look at the third box. It's a free gift. Notice the same verses, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's where their salvation comes from. Their judgment criteria is based on what? Works. They refuse to worship the beast. And believe me, that's going to be some real work. And they're going to be killed for that. What is their reward? We saw that in, look at verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Why? Because his works were such. He's being rewarded. It has anything to do with the gift. The next box over, the white throne judgment, are they susceptible to that? It's not applicable. The reason why? They're resurrected before that. What is their, the next box over, what is their eternal position? Their eternal position is not heaven, it's paradise. Their resurrection is to rule and reign with Christ during the millennial reign with the kingdom which is on earth. And of course, the earth has to be inhabited when it's a new earth with the new heaven. And that's where this first resurrection comes. And I have to stress that paradise is not second to heaven. It's a different part of God's purpose and plan for the ages, a new heaven and a new earth. What about the book of life? Look at scripture number 14 there, which is Revelation 3:5. Revelation 3:5. With regard to the book of life, in the fifth verse of the third chapter, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not block out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. Next box over, does he worship the beast? No. During the tribulation time, he refuses to do that and he's killed as a result. Is he subject to the second death? No. The last box over. Why? Because he's already been resurrected to newness of life. That's why. Okay, the second resurrection, which is actually the third, if you want to take them in order. It's the title of them. In verse, back to this same scripture, number 12, which is Revelation 20. Go back over to the 20th chapter of Revelation. Verse 6, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. They live after the 1,000 years. This resurrection takes place after. They are saints of Old Testament. Abraham, what is he looking for? Abraham's looking for a heavenly city that comes down. These folks are the long past dead. They are those who may not take place in the out resurrection. They may have not, they would not know anything of with regard to that. The rest of the dead. What is there, the third box over? What is their salvation? Well, it's the same as all men. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, that's how their salvation comes. What about their works? Look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 16. Verse 12, excuse me. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So here again, they're being judged for their works, not for their salvation, but for reward. Do they have reward? Look at Galatians chapter 6. It's the book just before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. There's no reward here other than their being resurrected. Their works were fleshly in nature. You see that today. There's a lot of Christians today who believe, according to the verses that we see here, salvation is by faith and by grace. But they're carnal Christians. They have very little or nothing to do with participation in church or study of the word. They're kind of like also ran. There is no reward. They accept the gift of salvation because of their belief. Do they stand in the judgment throne, the great white throne judgment? Look at scripture number 16, which is, well, we're there. Revelation chapter 20. Yes. They stand before the great white throne judgment. So what is their eternal position then? Well, look at scripture number 15. Romans chapter 5. Verse 18 of that 15th chapter, or that 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And then look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 14.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. There's going to be a judgment here, and some will be cast into the second death. Why? Because during this period of time of the millennial reign, some of these will show their true color. And, you know, we talked about those. We know that all men are resurrected to judgment of life, and we couldn't determine exactly whether they were all alive or whether they were dead. Lazarus came forth, but he was dead. God said, unloose him, and he put the breath of life back in him. Some of these names will be found in the book of life, and some of them are not. And I think here is the secret to our question, the $64 question. We determined that all men are resurrected. All men. We read it, the just and the unjust, over and over again. I forget how many scriptures we looked at least 6 or 7 scriptures. All men are resurrected. Here, I think, is where the men are separated from the boys. Here, I think some of these are found in the book of life, and some of them are not. They're dead. Did they worship the beast? Some of them did. But some of them couldn't. They're probably dead. I think some come forth like Lazarus. God said, Lazarus, come forth. If he would not have said Lazarus, the whole cemetery would have come out. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. Here, I think they all come out. And this is kind of the answer to the fact that the just and the unjust shall be resurrected. I think some are resurrected, and here they are judged in the great white throne judgment. And you see then, some of them worship the beast because they're alive, but some of them are subject to the second death, which is the last box there on the right. And they're sent into everlasting punishment. Not torture. And we've studied that. Everlasting punishment is different than everlasting torture. It says the wages of sin is death, not the wages of sin is eternal torture. It's death. John 3:16, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't say thou shalt not be eternally tortured in hellfire forever and ever, but eternally punished. What is the punishment? If the ultimate reward is to be in the presence of Him, either in paradise or heaven, what is the ultimate punishment? And that is to miss that and be unconscious of it for eternity. Now, you see at the bottom there some other scriptures on the chart. Matthew chapter 11. There's this question that arises all the time about what about the names, what about those that have never heard the gospel? What about those who are aborted? What about those that die in childbirth? What about those that are on an island and the gospel never gets to them? Turn with you, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. I told you we had a long ways to go. Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sidon, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, couple that with Romans chapter 2. Verse 12. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. Some never got it, never heard it. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He is omnipotent. He would never, ever penalize a human for not having received the law, not having been subject to the law, not knowing what the gospel, not knowing the love of Christ, or who Christ was, or the love of God. He would never. He is compassionate, merciful. And he has written this law in the hearts of men, knowing there's this consciousness that's there. You know, one of the marks of a Christian, this is not what makes a Christian, but one of the marks of a Christian is compassion. And you see a lot of folks, I think, or there are have been a lot of folks who probably have had compassion and never heard of the gospel of Christ. But the compassion shows that in their consciousness, in their heart, God knows who these folks are. I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. But there's evidence that these will be taken care of, who have never had the opportunity to hear, those who may have been aborted. Some would, some would not. God knows who they are. He is merciful. Now, this is deep stuff. This is not easy subject matter. And it's typically not taught or even approached in church, in Sunday schools. And as I started off and said, don't take my word. I've tried to lay out here various scriptures that point to what I'm saying. And it says, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman. You've got to work at this to understand and to comprehend it. But it has to do with reward, not salvation. And there will be those who have reward, who will appear with Christ and those who will be resurrected later before the kingdom, before the 1,000 years, and those who are resurrected after. If you've got any questions, ask Howard. He'll have all the answers after we conclude. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that because of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus and because of his death and resurrection, that we are reckoned to be dead with him, resurrected with him, first crucified, then resurrected with him to newness of life. We're grateful for that. I thank you for it. We appreciate the scripture that allows us to look into your purpose and plan for the ages. Again, I thank you for everyone that is here. I pray that you will continue to open the eyes of our understanding and that we may continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of you, that we may be rooted and grounded in love, that we may know the hope of our calling, and that we might walk worthy of it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.